we welcome our sports commentator, Sam Ackerman, in Tauranga. Kia ora, Sam.
Kia ora, Catherine.
Lots of developments in the Football World Cup. We'll get to it in a moment, but first you want to pay tribute to one of the truly great figures in our sporting history. In this instance, not just as an athlete, but primarily as a world-leading coach.
Yeah, Sir Murray Halberg has offered more to New Zealand sport than most athletes can dream to do. And when someone passes, there's obviously a lot of accolades and fond memories come the way, and there can be a certain overstatement. But there is no overstatement when you use a word like icon for Sir Murray Halberg, because his name is quite literally synonymous with sporting success in this country. When you say his name, you think of the best of the best. I mean, the Halberg Awards, in his named in after him, is the perfect example of it. But he is exactly how we like our athletes in this country. As a man, he was determined, never ever used an excuse, to complete devoid of it entirely. He was humble and, importantly for a sports person, talented. So what he achieved as athlete puts him in that category of the athletes who, you know, he almost would think he's too nice to be good in that environment. But man, was he good. Nobody has a bad word to say about him. I was lucky enough to meet him a few times. Just a sweet man, intelligent, cared about the person he was speaking to, whatever that environment is, and hated talking about his accolades or that he was this or was that. He would always defer to what it means to other people. And, you know, anyone who was part of what is considered the finest moment in New Zealand sport, the golden hour at the Rome Olympics in 1960 for his win, and Peter Snell, of course, the other, that 5,000 metres, that's folklore. You can't do much better than that. But I would argue that, you know, he was the, you know, along with those accolades, it's for those not keeping score on this, he was the first New Zealander to ever run the 4-minute mile, which is such a prestigious time that everybody still tries to reach. He broke 3 world records in the space of 19 days back in 1961, Catherine, and in different disciplines. And that just shows you his talent. But he's been is knighted for his sport, but also what he's done for charity. The Halberg Foundation, as we know it, is all about opening up opportunities for disadvantaged youth in this country. And give them anyone who are disabled and has barriers to entry. And the Halberg Foundation, under his name and under his watch, has led to bringing so many New Zealanders in and giving a lot of athletes as well a lot of perspective and an understanding of what giving back can do and achieve. So he's done so much of that led to the re-establishment of the men's sports team of the year as we know it, with the Halbergs as well, many years ago. So to have those things available through his name and through his work and what he's done for people beyond his circle and for his sport has been absolutely outstanding. I mean, his name is literally means a champion amongst champions. To be a Halberg winner, to have a Halberg, means that you are considered the best of the best. And yep, there's debate that I'm sure that he wouldn't have liked the controversy that came with that side of it. But what he's contributed is almost immeasurable.
It is, and also it's the story of a lifelong commitment to sport and to giving back, because he was, of course, part of the famous, you know, Halberg stable, who pretty much revolutionised distance running.
Yeah, Arthur Lydiard, absolutely.
Arthur Lydiard, well, actually, it's middle distance running through doing distance training. But then, as you say, beyond that career, lifelong, he didn't just walk away and, you know, go and look after himself. Lifelong commitment to sport in many, many different formats. Okay, so from the humble and the, you know, selfless in some ways to a sport not always associated with that, but goodness, no. When that Football World Cup gets going, people can't help themselves. And we've had some really interesting developments this morning, Sam.
What a morning. So those who haven't heard, Japan have topped Group E, and that is a big deal. They 2 heavyweight upsets in that pool. They weren't expected to progress, let alone top the pool. So this morning they've beaten Spain, the might of Spain, 2-1, a come-from-behind victory. Earlier in the tournament, they upset Germany by that same score. And that means Germany, who beat Costa Rica this morning, they would have gone in pretty confident that Spain would be able to get the job done and that they could go through and progress. But now, for the second World Cup in a row, they're knocked out at the group stage, don't advance to the round of 16 or to the knockout games. It is an absolute shock. It's caught the world on the hop. And Japan, and now they're the darlings of the World Cup once again. And just a week ago, we were talking on the show that Japan is a force to get that upset win over Germany. That meant so much to them. But what is so great about Japan, not just the joy that they play with, you can't not smile when you see this Japanese team put out what they do and perform in the way they do. They are absolutely shattering, destroying all the football stereotypes as players and fans. They're respectful. They tidy up their own sheds. We talked about this last week, Catherine, when you weren't here. They tidy up their own sheds when they're done, leave origami folded cranes and thank you notes. And their fans go around picking up rubbish in the stadium before they go. So what Japan, the element that they're bringing to this tournament is unreal. I said that if you don't have a team, get on Japan, because they're fun to be part of. So who knows where this ride goes from here, but a great result. And another stunning development this morning. It's not so stunning through the group stage, but as at the start of the tournament, it was unthinkable. The world's second ranked team, Belgium, they're out as well. So a scoreless draw for them was enough for Croatia to advance ahead of them. And they had all these opportunities literally falling at their feet and they couldn't finish it off. So the World Cup brings stress to a lot of situations. One of those situations as well, actually, is for a New Zealander. Matthew Conger is a Pāmi North school teacher, and he's a referee as well at this World Cup. And France, the heavyweights, aren't very happy with him. In fact, made lodged a complaint about his decision-making to FIFA after a goal was disallowed by the VAR, the video assistant referee. And the problem is, it's contentious for some, whether it's offside or not. But it led to Tunisia beating them. Didn't stop France advancing as top of the pool. But there was that the VAR was used after the game was restarted. Now, presumably, Matthew Conger got a tip in the ear that he should check this one out, and he didn't. It was ruled out because of it. But, yep, the offside line, not a very popular one for the French. In this case, it would be the Conger line, I think you'll find there, Catherine.
look, in some big exits, of course. But look at Australia hanging in there for the playoffs. Oh.
Well, they were thumped by France in the first round. Everyone was kind of like, taking pot shots at them. But here they are. They're through. They've got a game against Argentina. They're saying, don't rule us out. And, Argentina suffered a loss to Saudi Arabia in the first round. So the first game of the group stage. So there's nothing to suggest that upsets can't happen in this tournament. But, yeah, good on them. I mean, they're punching above their weight, having another crack and being Aussies at a tournament. And there's definitely a vibrancy to them. And before Japan stepped up, they were definitely looking like the darlings of the final 16. But they've got a mountain ahead of them. But everyone does. It's, up by the end of this weekend, group stage is over. And it's down to the real nitty-gritty. It's going to be a really intense time from here on in. And you just see the emotions on the faces of the players of either distraught or jubilant today. It's all on, Catherine.
Let's crack on. I'm going to park the Black Caps because, let's face it, it just rained the whole month for the one-day series. So let's just park that. Come back to when we've got time. I want to have a look at the Black Sox. Here's another World Cup happening at the moment and not getting anything like the coverage, actually, perhaps that it deserves being hosted here.
Yes, and I'd say on this occasion the Black Sox aren't too upset about that because it's just not gone the Black Sox way this tournament. For those who might kind of remember that the Black Sox do come in and get pretty well credentialed, they are seven-time world softball champions, and every time the tournament's been hosted here, the previous three times, New Zealand has won on home soil. That is not going to be the case this time around. Very disappointing campaign. It's the worst ever result at a World Cup, actually. They will miss out on the top six, a couple of really heartbreaking defeats along the way. So not to be, but it would have been nice to see this get more sunlight prior to the event to put some focus on these athletes. Look, that said, this now is it's beginning of we've seen over the last couple of years a bit of a turf war developing with baseball starting to grow more in this country, Catherine, because it was always softball territory between those two very similar forms of the game. And softball's big advantage was always that they would go on and win world titles. They had that legacy. So if they're not a world title winning team, the athletes that are in that ground of wanting to go further with it, play professionally or go higher than just the very strong recreational game and social leagues that they are around the country, the temptation now to go to baseball is going to be
Yeah.
It's going to be huge because even if you get a minor league contract somewhere around Asia or the Americas, you can be it can be a career for you. So that certainly isn't the same case for most with softball. So this has put baseball into a pretty interesting position now to turn the screws, if you like, on.
Yeah,
on the softball.
It's very different action, though, isn't it? Pitching underarm to baseball. I'd be interested in how much. I mean, obviously the striking of the ball. You can see similarities in the field. You can see similarities. Be interesting to see how easy that transition is for people. Let's crack on.
It's not easy, the pitches. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's crack on though, because the Breakers. We need to catch up on how their season's going.
Really well, and quietly going about their business. And they were hammered, like the Warriors, the Phoenix, and like so many sporting teams, organisations, and just general businesses. COVID just was not kind to them. They couldn't play here in New Zealand, and they had just a woeful time. Last season, 5 wins in 28 games, and that champion Breakers team of old looked kind of like done and dusted, and they're kind of like just not even being talked about much anymore. They're just, gone from memory. But a new coach this year in Modi Maior, and getting a chance to play at home, they've now just recorded 5 straight wins. So remember, they won 5 all season last year. 5 straight wins, 8 from their last 9. Their season sits at 11-3 for their record, and it's the halfway point of the year. They're top of the table. So that is a phenomenal turnaround, with the defence being just so impressive to watch. And there's just the commitment there to really turn the screws on oppositions. But they're beating reasonable teams. Like they played the Phoenix the other day, the South Melbourne Phoenix, not the Wellington one, of course. Toppling very good challenges like that. Blowout scores, putting comfortably 20, 30 point margins on some of them. So there's that attitude. There's something infectious about their way they're playing at the moment that reminds you of that the golden era for the Breakers. And I will maintain that in New Zealand, in my experience, I'm not a crazy basketball follower, but a Breakers game, I think, could be the best sporting experience as a fan in New Zealand. When you go there, the entertainment value and the energy in the room and the building is special. So don't want to get too far ahead of themselves and start talking them up too much. But it looks like the Breakers are back, and they're certainly going to be very hard to imagine not featuring in the playoffs from the place they're in now. And it's a welcome addition to have a successful and winning and an upbeat Breakers team
good
back
stuff
in the sporting landscape.
Yeah, it's one of those sports, again, that has its darling moments. The whole country gets engaged. Yeah. Look, just very quickly, Leah Coe, what a story she's had as an athlete. And actually, what a remarkable success story, not only in her performance on the course, but just how she's conducted her life, having been sort of the child prodigy and then going to that point that so many golfers go to where they seem to lose it for a while, then coming back and playing on her own terms, possibly leaving on her own terms, the signals are coming, and winning.
It's phenomenal. And this week, just with the ranking changes, she's returned to number one in the world rankings for the first time since 2017. A lot of people have ridden her off in that time. Look, I'm sure I've said that I thought at some stage, I guarantee I would have said that her best days may be behind her. But here she is with her best and most successful year ever. She was like literally just a couple of $100 short of it being the highest money winning season in the LPGA history. So she's done very well for herself. She's long said that she can't imagine playing into her 30s. She's currently 25. She's made $27 million on circuit. She's getting married later this year. Priorities in life do change. Been a pro for 10 years, but she was obviously a rising star for years before that too. So there's two things being pointed out as possible swan song. One would be the Paris Olympics. She's apparently very keen to go for another medal there. She's got a silver and a bronze to her name at the Olympics so far, so one missing from the set. And she's a couple of ranking points and a couple of boxes she needs to tick away from earning qualification for the Hall of Fame. So once that is ticked off, there's another school of thought. That's where she pulls out. But whatever it is, what a year for Lydia Ko. What a way to come back and have that level of dominance. You can see Lydia Ko has been a lot of things throughout her career. Successful is right up there, and smiling and happy. But this year she's been emotional. She's shown her emotions a lot more. As you know, when you get older, you can get these things mean more to you in different ways. But it's getting older. She's 25, for goodness sake. But she has had an incredible year. Deserves everything that's come away and the accolades. But man, it's hard to imagine the sporting landscape without Lydia Ko. But if you talk about that Mary Helberg style, she fits right that mold too. She's humble, and there's nothing, no one's got anything bad to say about Lydia Ko. Everyone seems to love her, and a success story the nation can be proud of.
Thank you, Sam Ackerman.